From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Our children's time is led by Carla Clennon.
Good morning. How is everybody? I need a strong volunteer.
Ooh, me.
Ooh, me. How about a girl? Do we have any strong girls? Come here, Jane. What do you think you're going to do with that? Try to break it. Let's see how strong you are. You're strong. Have you ever broke a stick before? Yeah? All right. Let's try to break those.
I can't.
What happened?
I can't.
Oh! She did it! Wow! Okay, you really. What do we have? Now you have to clean yourself off. And the other sticks. Well, you're not supposed to break these. So what happens if we're by ourselves and there's only one of us? Do you think we can be broken just like Jane broke that stick?
Yes.
Yeah. What about if we're all together, like the bundle I gave her?
No.
Well, we can break it, but together we are more of a church, right? Are we a church?
Yes.
Is our building a church? Are you sure? What about all those people out there? Do you think they're the church?
Yes,
they're
church people.
They're church people. But what if we would have church, say, at a park? Would that be a church?
No.
Yeah. Everywhere's a church where people gather, right? We can gather as a group of men, women, boys, and girls. And be a church. It doesn't have to be a building. We can have it outside, under a tent, at a park, in a cave. We can have church anywhere. So the sticks teach us a lesson that we need everybody. You see all those people out there? We need everybody to have a church. Not just one person, but everybody needs to be part of our church. One day Jesus went off by himself to pray. He prayed for his disciples because he knew that his disciples had lived in the world and they would be tempted by evil things. Have you all ever been tempted by evil things?
No.
Good. We're glad about that. So, We don't want to do evil things. We want to do the right thing. He also knew that his disciples would come together as one. They would be much stronger together instead of individuals. So he prayed and asked God to protect them and to help them become one, just as he and his Father are one. Let's say a little prayer. Father, protect us and help us to be one with other believers, just as you are one in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our anthem, Anchored to the Rock, is by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. Epistle lesson is read by Becky Snyder, and it's followed by the gospel lesson and sermon Power and Glory by our interim minister, Reverend Eugene Mall.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The epistle lesson comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. Here ends the epistle lesson.
They say this may work better this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Shall we rise for the Gospel? When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, since thou hast given him power over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorify thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thy presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I have manifested my name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Here ends the reading of the Gospel. You may be seated. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am not sure what I would have done if I had been there that day. My jaw probably would have dropped, my eyes would have been glazing, my face would have shown astonishment. Here it was, Jesus ascending into the heavens, 40 days after Easter, or the resurrection, which we remembered from last Thursday if we counted the calendar. Two men appeared to them after this happened, angels we say, and said, "Why do you stand here gazing up into the heavens? This Jesus who has been taken into heaven will come again." I don't think that the astonishment was any different for the disciples than it would have been for you or me. During these last few months, they had been through more than two lifetimes. They had been, as we say, through the ringer. And now they were being told, "Get your eyes off of the skies." And they were helping the disciples to move from just sitting around and gazing with that defeated feeling and getting ready for the tasks that lie ahead. And they would reflect the glory of Jesus, their ascended Lord. So the stage is set here for the Pentecost to follow, which is next Sunday. The Spirit will be given. And in respect, it's like the kids on the road where the disciples in this in-between time are probably saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Waiting is hard. The question is asked even in this reading for today, that first reading that was read, "Lord, is this the time? Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And the Lord simply says, "No, just be patient and wait. Be patient." It just seems like they did not quite get it yet. Their thoughts still were of a kingdom here on this world, on this very earth. They would say to him, you died. You rose again. No one can stop you. You have done it all. Let's just set up this kingdom. Lord, is this the time? We're ready to do it. See, we always like the answers before we accept the challenge. It's not unusual. You know, we sometimes say when we go into something, well, tell me how it's going to come out. We want everything complete before us, but Jesus would simply say, no, it's not that kind of a kingdom. And then he left them. Up and away, and he was gone. And it says he had done all that he had set out to do. It simply says that the power would be given for them so that they would be able to carry things out. It's interesting here how the cast is chosen. They are named here. A rather curious place for this cast of characters. They had watched Jesus ascend, and now they were returning to Jerusalem. They went to that upper room to wait. Each is named, 11 of them. One is missing. That was Judas, of course. But he would soon be replaced by Matthias. And along with them were women and others. And they waited as well. It was the beginning of a vigil, a time of getting ready for whatever that next assignment would be. And here they would continue to sit and watch from the sidelines. Or would they be ready to be powered up? Powered up workers, ready to get to work. How would you react if you had been there at that time? Sometimes we say what is needed are some third-class passengers. I'm thinking way back to the stagecoach days. They had first class, second class, and third class on the stage. When that stage would get stuck in a rut or in the mud somewhere, the first class passengers could just stay sitting in the stage. If you were a second class passenger, it was said that you would get out, but you could stand on the sidelines and you would not have to get your hands dirty. Third class passengers would have to get out or off, maybe they were seated by the driver, and they would have to push. Push until that stage was out of whatever rut it was in. The Lord was needing some third-class passengers, even as he does today. The disciples here may have had a danger of becoming ingrown, to just build that little kingdom on earth, that little community, pull things in, restore what we have, be in our own bubbles, so to speak. I was at a conference one time, and there was a speaker there by the name of Chuck Lofi. And he would talk about the womb and the tomb analogy. He must have had this as a favorite of his, because if someone was there who had heard him before, they would say about this time, oh no, here comes the womb and tomb again. But it's pretty good. He would say to us, the womb is a great thing. A child grows. A child develops. But if a child stays in the womb too long, it becomes a tomb. It cannot survive. The day comes when this child must enter a new world. And it was the same with the disciples. They could have entombed themselves. They in the womb, so to speak, for 3 years. That's a long gestation period. But now the Holy Spirit would come. And you will be my witnesses. It won't be long. Just wait patiently, lead a prayerful life, and that Holy Spirit will come and will send you on the way. This is a graduation time of year. We'll picture a graduation of a new class of medical doctors. In that ceremony, they all stand together and they repeat that Hippocratic oath. And whatever their backgrounds, new doctors are united by this common pledge to serve others in the course of their professional duties. Indeed, it becomes for them somewhat of a sacred moment. But following those final words of advice, probably a reception, this then would be the last time this class may be together. And they would be sent out to positions perhaps all around the country, scattered, so to speak. It may not have been much different for these 11 remaining disciples gathered there. Jesus appeared to them the last time. It was clear that the relationship was making a change, almost like a graduation ceremony. Now the disciples had received their training, and their turn was to go out and to make disciples of all nations. But he speaks not only to his disciples, he also speaks to us. We also are called into action to go out and to be. You talked with the children about the church here, but I think you were thinking, well, maybe there's some people with church, and they don't stay here all week long. I come in here during the week, and it's empty. They are out in the world being that church, so to speak. See, we have our prayerful, our quiet, our contemplative times. You are in the stage now, getting a report from a search committee as you seek a new pastor. You may be tempted to just gather the forces, pull in the reins. You could entomb yourself and let the rest of the world go by. And when a new pastor comes, we may be tempted to still sit back a bit. Let things up to him or her. But no. The Lord would say, I have a mission for you to do. I am empowering you to be my witnesses out beyond these walls. This is the cast that I give you. Just look around. The disciples looked at each other. We can look at those who sit in the pews beside us and around us. You are the cast for each other. You could name each other just like the text does, the disciples. And you are here to support, to encourage, and to work with one another. In a way, everything that you do and everything that you have done in the past prepares you for the future that lies ahead. Not all of you will be doing the same thing, but you all be getting ready for what tasks you can do. As I think back to my life of pastoral ministry, I feel that every pastoral call that I had, I always felt it prepared me for whatever was ahead, and I could build on what had been done in the past. In the prayer of Jesus, the gospel for today, Jesus prays for the disciples in behalf of those given to him to work with. This prayer goes on beyond the text and prays not only for them, but also for those who believe in him because of the witness of the followers. Well, that's us. That's us. And that we too have received that message and have been instilled with that, that we too can go on and be what we're called to be. It's baseball season now. And I would dare say that there's a number of you here who may remember the old manager by the name of Sparky Anderson. He managed the Detroit Tigers for several years, and the Tigers weren't doing very well. They were losing regularly. But Sparky continually would speak of confidence in the abilities of his team. He never quit. And one day, Sparky's team squeezed out a win, and he was said, looking at the game, he said, "Yesterday I got the confidence of about four of our players bolstered. And now if I can get the confidence of another four players bolstered tomorrow, we will begin playing like a team that I know they can play." What a difference it makes when our leader has confidence in his team and will intercede in their behalf. Well, Jesus had confidence in his disciples. "I've done what I can do. It's up to you." And Jesus prays for them, and he prays for us. And with God's help, we too can accomplish his mission because he has confidence in us. So in closing, as Jesus here said goodbye, he did not promise his disciples an easy road. He did not promise them a rose garden, nor does he us. But he promises power to them, power that would propel them on. And he promises power for us. Receive it and let it live through you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.